You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Keeping you company until midday, and it's Singles Awareness Day, Valentine's Day, whichever way you want to describe the 14th of February. And you know what? We're talking about one-night stands. There are many among us that will be alone this Valentine's Day. And as such, one-night stands may seem like a good idea. Netflix and chill, even, if you please. We're going to be chatting to Stephen Laverack, counseling psychologist, about the ins and outs, pardon the pun, the politics behind one-night stands. But maybe let's just get a little bit more au fait with the subject. There's a quick explainer that we're going to play for you now. And remember, if you have any questions, any comments, send those WhatsApp voice notes now to 072-702-1702. Give us a call as well, 011-883-0702. What is a one-night stand?
702. Talking Sex.
So one-night stands are essentially when you hook up with someone and never see them again, or at least never sleep with them again. And at one point I remember thinking, wow, that sounds so shallow and meaningless. It's just two people giving into raw sexual attraction with no chemistry or romance whatsoever. And then someone said, have you tried it? That hurt my feelings, but they had a point. And I think that if two people want to hook up and are responsible about it, it could be a good experience for both of them. So first things first, you should be prepared at all times. But if you're like me and all your condoms are expired, it can be hard to decide if it's worth preemptively investing. In my opinion, you should always have at least a couple on your bedside table to keep the hope alive. And on the flip side, if you're a guy who gets around, don't try to save money or cut corners. I've heard some pretty ridiculous stories, and my friend told me that she heard of a guy who washed out a condom to reuse. That's being really stupid. Just turn it inside out. So once you're well stocked on the necessary prerequisites, you of course need to find someone else to help you make God disappointed. Whether you're meeting someone in a bar, on Tinder, or through your contact list, you have to be good at managing expectations. Even if both people agree they're just hooking up and you're on the same page, you won't be the next morning, so I like to be as transparent as possible. If she says, I don't really do this kind of thing that often, what should I expect? I'd just be honest and say, it's about like a Coke can, but a bit shorter. So if you're hooking up with someone and there's a mutual understanding that you're probably not going to see each other again, don't be afraid to try some new techniques. As an example, the other day a girl was telling
me. So, a quick explainer of what one night stands are on 702 for the curious. That is definitely not advice, turning condoms inside out. If you hadn't figured out by now, Abel snickering in the background here, that was very much tongue in cheek. any questions on one night stands, any suggestions, any inquiries? Give us a call now, 011-883-0702. We're talking sex and 702 for the curious. Joining us live on the line is Stephen Laverack, counseling psychologist. Stephen, thank you very much for your time on Singles Awareness Day, Valentine's Day. What do you call the 14th of February, you personally?
Oh, me personally? Oh, my goodness. Well, like most people, I think it is the Valentine's Day where we celebrate love. But it's also quite a lonely day for people who, you know, are single. So, you know, the way of showing love has many forms. So whether that's, you know, Netflix and chilling at home, or having a random hookup with someone that you pick up on an app, or like Tinder or Grindr or one of the cases, or even going out, you know, that's how you celebrate Valentine's Day.
I know what it's like to spend Valentine's Day alone. This February the 14th, I'm lucky enough to spend some time together with my significant other. But I mean, do you think it's fair to, you know, think that people that are alone on Valentine's Day, or people that don't celebrate Valentine's Day because they're not in a relationship, or they just think it's all nonsense. Do you think it's fair to suppose that that many would be considering a one-night stand, a Netflix and chill, or whatever it is?
Well, I think anyone can be thinking about a one-night stand perhaps any day of the week. I don't know whether it necessarily needs to have a Valentine's Day scenario to motivate that. I mean, I think it's a very familiar theme. You know, you go to a nightclub or a bar or something, and, you know, the alcohol's flowing, the party's sort of kicking off, and you'll see people going off, you know, going home together that perhaps have never met each other before. You know, people who, you know, use apps on their phones, as I mentioned, to pick up people on Tinder or Grindr or Scruff or whatever the case may be. And it's very much under the agreement that it's just going to be a one-night thing, a casual hookup just to have sex. So So I don't think it necessarily needs Valentine's Day. But I think it's under the spotlight at the moment because, you know, it is the day of love. We're supposed to be sort of loving everyone. But also there is a massive population of people who are not in a relationship, who might be looking at alternatives at the moment for the day.
So what are the absolute basics? What are the fundamentals of a one-night stand? If you are a singleton and you are out in the prowl this evening, or you're hitting up those numbers in your WhatsApp to-do list, you know, what are the fundamentals you should keep in mind?
Well, I think, you know, the first most important thing at the moment off the top of my head would be safety. And then you alluded to sort of safe sex practices. I think that's very important to reduce the chances of any STIs or HIV infection, and using responsible sexual practices in that regard. But I also think it's personal safety as well, because very often, you know, you're hooking up with someone you've never met before. You don't know them from, you don't have a previous history with them. You know, you might end up at their apartment, their house, or they might come to your house or apartment. You know, there's all these elements of physical safety as well. So it's always important to make sure that if you're doing a hookup like that, a one-night stand, at least you tell someone about it, a friend or someone you trust, that this is what you're doing, so that you know, are protecting yourself from a safety perspective. And also knowing your boundaries. If it feels wrong, if it feels uncomfortable, you know, if it's making you feel pressurized in any way, then, you know, knowing when to stop and making sure that you're able to say no. Because I think often with hookups like this, or one-night stands, often there can be regret the next day. You know, very often at that moment in time, you're being driven by some very powerful chemicals in your brain that are making you feel good. They're enhancing your mood. You know, they're heightening your sexual interest and they're boosting your confidence. And also, if you've been on it taking alcohol and drugs, you know, that maybe it's impairing your sort of good decision-making behavior. And in the light of the day, often, you know, there can be regrets with that. And in fact, there has been research on this. A psychologist in England at Durham University, for example, by the name of Anne Campbell, surveyed about 3,300 people between the ages of 17 and 40, half of which, men and women equally included, had experienced a one-night stand. And she asked them to report their experiences the next day and the emotions that they experienced the morning after. And in her research on casual sex, she found that despite women's claims that they can have carefree sex unattached, 80% of the men had overall positive feelings about the experience, while meanwhile only 54% of the women had positive experience. So, you know, a lot of the comments that came from that, from the women, was that they regret being used, they felt cheap, they were horrified afterwards, and they felt just degraded. So, you know, one of the factors that needs to be looked at is, you know, the morning after regret of having a one-night stand.
Stephen, why do you think there is that difference in that research that you mentioned between men and women? Are we just fundamentally wired differently?
I think that there is research is telling us that there might be a genetic element to it. There was another piece of research that was done at State University in New York that looked at DNA and whether that played a role, and certainly looking at a gene, and it was actually called a gene called DRD4, which affects the levels of dopamine in the brain, which has also been associated with ADHD, alcoholism, and compulsive and risk-taking behavior such as partying and gambling. And out of the subject pool, 43 tested positive for the gene, and according to the research, report a greater categorical risk of promiscuous sexual behavior, including having one-night stands. And the report also said that 50%, or they had a 50% chance of instances of sexual infidelity in relationships. But, I mean, that's one factor, and we must reiterate from this research that actually the greater influence in sort of casual sex was lifestyle. Interestingly, in this research, night owls, whether they be male or female, and these are people who like to party and go out at night, appear to have more sort of one-night stands than people who get up early in the morning. So that played a role here. So there is a sort of a gender differential, but it's not the only reason why people would have a one-night stand.
Lines are open now, 011-883-0702. I want you to be open, honest. If you want to come on the line and be anonymous, that's okay. It's Valentine's Day, 14th of February. What are your questions about one-night stands? Do you engage in one-night stands? We've spoken about what a one-night stand is and how men and women approach it differently. In conversation with Stephen Larabarak, a counseling psychologist. We've got one WhatsApp in here so far, Stephen, and it poses the question, I get easily emotionally attached. I've never had a one-night stand, but I'm considering it this evening. Should I even bother?
That's a very good question. And I think it's really something to consider, because it really does take a very robust ego actually to withstand what I would think is a collision between the personal and impersonal involved in one-night stands. Some people do become emotionally attached, and there is that that network of emotions really that we have to sort of maneuver our way through, which can often be quite complicated to work through. Some people are able to navigate those links quite easily, and they see it as just a physical act, and they don't have an emotional attachment or intimacy. But other people, really do connect and attach. So it's really about, looking after yourself and being very mindful that if you are prone to that kind of very quick attachment and connection with someone, that perhaps a one-night stand will trigger some stuff for you that, might be quite difficult to work through and quite distressing. So I think it's something really, really carefully to think about. Then it's all about your own boundaries and saying, okay, are you able to disconnect that part of yourself just for the physical acts of having sex with someone who is a stranger? But it's a complicated one.
No strings attached sexual encounters. We're talking about one-night stands and talking sex with Stephen Larabarak, counseling psychologist on 702 for the curious. Nicholas Bauer with you until midday. Keep your questions coming in. Number to dial, 011-883-0702. Be open, be honest. It's Valentine's Day. What are you going to get up to if you are aiming for a one-night stand? Because, we've spoken now, Stephen, about the random hookup, right? But what about the friends with benefits area, right? Where you have that friend that you've known for a very, very long time, and it's almost like, second nature. They know you extremely well. And then all of a sudden you get to an age where you have a look around and maybe your relationship prospects are not blooming. And it comes to a day like February the 14th, and you think, this person kind of in the same position as I am. Why don't I just try and suggest that we explore the option of friends with benefits, the so-called buddies?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's quite common, more common than I actually think we realize at the moment. But again, it goes back to having very, very clear boundaries and having a very sort of healthy and transparent and honest discussion between the two people to be clear about what those boundaries are, that it is just going to be friends with benefits, that there is no kind of long-term relationship or intimate partner relationship that's going to sort of come out of this. But also, because we are human beings and we're very complex creatures and we have a whole myriad of emotions, it's important to be able to have that open sort of honesty with oneself, firstly, to say, well, actually, I'm falling for this person, I'm connecting, I've got an attachment, I'm falling in love with this person. But secondly, being able to admit that to the friend with benefits and being open to that and then knowing really between the two of you what to do with that, because it could cause, the break in the friends with benefits relationship, or it could take the relationship into another space. you know, who knows? But it's really, really about being very clear with one's boundaries, with oneself, but also the person that they're having sex with.
Stephen, let's be honest, though. I mean, you do run the risk of ruining a friendship once you get physical. I mean, it's never happened with me before, but I've seen friends that have known each other for a very long time. They've tried to get the physical thing going in a one-night stand or you know, random hookup friends with benefits. And then, you know, what was a perfectly good friendship is then destroyed because you don't know where the new boundaries are.
Right, absolutely. And that can happen, unfortunately. It's a reality, you know, that you've really become very vulnerable in a physical and sexual way with this friend. And, you know, it hasn't worked out. And, you know, often there is, you know, a sense of shame or blaming or, you know, that real unpleasant, distressed feeling that comes as a result of it. And often the friendship cannot withstand, you know, that the pain and the discomfort that is caused, and it would result in obviously then the end of the relationship, which is quite sad.
Lines are open, 011-883-0702. Stephen Laverack in conversation with myself, Niklas Bauer. We're talking about friends with benefits, one night stands. It's Valentine's Day. Are you planning a Netflix and chill? Tell us all about it, or perhaps talk about your concerns. Before we get to a very important point that you brought up there, Stephen, about the fact that you need to have a robust ego, because, I mean, let's be quite honest, when it comes to a random hookup or a fling, people might feel fairly emboldened to ask for exactly what they want in a sexual manner,
yes,
or comment on the performance of the partner if you really know that it is what it is. And if you're only going to be together for a couple of hours, you can be brutally honest. But before we get there, I want to find out the fact that we have such a high prevalence of HIV infection in South Africa. The environment, the way that we engage with topics like this, one night stands, Netflix and chill. I mean, it has to be vastly different to the rest of the world. Responsibility being the absolute name of the game.
Well, I mean, look, HIV is one sort of area of it, and I think, you know, I think it speaks to really where we are in terms of preventative sexual behaviour, actually, and seeking help, you know, if someone is diagnosed with HIV. And I think, you know, we're coming out of an era really where we've not been able to have sex positive discussions. It's been very much, you know, shaming and blaming in terms of you know, people who are having casual sex or sex outside of a relationship. You know, it's been very much the world of slut shaming, and that there's something wrong with you if you have hookups and all these kind of things. So, you know, it makes it very difficult for people to then seek sort of help, whether that be medical or psychological help, because they're fearful of being shamed and blamed by the provider. I like to think that slowly we're coming out of that era into an environment where we are being more open about it, and shows such as this today, being able to talk about it, I think are very, very important. You know, because I think, you know, one night stands and random hookups are more common than we actually like to acknowledge. And we need to be having open discussions about this in a way that is positive, and, you know, not sort of judging and blaming people. So I think that's part of it. But also we need to be quite clear within ourselves, you know, when we do have casual sexual encounters, about what our motivations are within ourselves. And one of the largest pieces of research that's been done in this space is about mental health and the state of mental health in casual sex. And this was done in America, Ohio. And it was actually published in the Journal of Sex Research, which looked at 10,000 people. And it found that people are more prone to having depression or have had sort of depressive symptoms, or maybe have tried to attempt suicide in their teens, are more likely to engage in casual sex as adults. So we need to look at what the casual sex, the one night stand is actually what is happening underneath? You know, is it trying to fill a void? Is it trying to affirm, get external validation from someone else when someone is feeling, you know, that their self-worth and their confidence is at a low point? Is it just a matter of just wanting to have some fun and connect with another human being in a very different way, in a way that is outside of their normal friendship circle? Is it really masking something deep within? So I think, you know, we try to make light of this topic, but I think there is a lot of complexities with it that, you know, often we don't sit with. So it is a very fun topic, and, you know, it's a fun thing to do, and many people are doing it, but there's also a sort of another side to it that maybe, you know, people don't get to think about that often.
If you have any questions about one-night stands, we'll get to Neil in Boksburg after The Brain, which happens after the news, which is happening next. Niklas Bauer in conversation with Stephen Laverack, a counseling psychologist. We're still very judgy when it comes to this, right, Stephen? I mean, it is a funny, or at least a fun topic, not funny necessarily, people can still be very, very judgmental. I mean, I've got an SMS in here saying, it's anonymous. One night stands are nothing more than whoring yourself out. Judgmental.
Yes. Right there. That's it right there. There's the judgmental. Yeah.
And then we've got Anonymous here. I mean, she's definitely gotten into the whole fun-spirited nature of the conversation. My issue with one night stands is that guys are the ones who want more. They'll be asking me and calling me nonstop. I shag and I move on. I don't blame them, though. I'm a demon in the bedroom. That's a big problem, right? That's not a problem about being a demon in the bedroom, but catching feelings,
like Stephen.
Yeah, but the problem of catching feelings, because look, I'll level with you as well. That's why one night stands for myself personally have never worked. The one or two I've engaged with has always resulted in those feelings being caught.
Yes. Absolutely. And I think that's, again, part of being realistic and knowing yourself well enough to be able to say that there is a possibility that having a one-night stand or a random hookup or whatever, casual sex, whatever you want to call it, may stir up a lot of emotions for me. So I need to find ways of protecting myself from that. Or rather not do it if it's going to be something that stirs up too much sort of distress and uncomfortable feelings for that person. Because, you know, you are becoming incredibly vulnerable with a stranger, effectively. And you're being naked with them, you're performing sexual acts with them, you're allowing yourself, you're opening yourself up very emotionally to an individual. And if you are able to kind of maneuver through that very quickly and disconnect that part of yourself and see it for just a random hookup, then that's fair enough. But if you're someone who does have difficulty with sort of being able to detach yourself emotionally from attaching with other individuals, then that could be a challenge for that person.
Stephen, don't go anywhere. We'll continue this conversation after the news and 7:02 for the curious. We're chatting about one night stands on Valentine's Day, otherwise known as Singles Awareness Day.
7:02. Talking Sex.
Indeed we are. We're with you until midday. Niklas Bauer keeping you company alongside counseling psychologist Stephen Laverack. And interesting message in here, Stephen. You're not talking about one night stands. You're talking about the project of shag and release. Nice one,
that's nice.
All right, let's go to Neil in Boksburg. You've been patiently waiting to chat to us. Neil, what's your take?
Hi, Stephen. It's just so good to come over so well, and I appreciate your input. We actually do know each other from way back. The emotions around one-night stands are accentuated by people with very limited input and normally very biased views. And I would be interested to know if research is done on the balance between the frequency with which the LGBT, what's called now the group of people, and the hetero group of people. Has research been done, and does one outweigh the other? Loving you coming over. Thanks.
Thanks, Neil in Boksburg. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Stephen, go ahead.
That's a really good question. You know, like most things, research into the sort of LGBT community, and certainly when it comes to sex, is very thin on the ground, largely kind of anecdotal stuff, unfortunately. And I think, you know, when I was researching casual sex and one-night stands, it was very apparent that, you know, the research is just simply not there, and certainly not in a local context. So it's definitely something that needs to be looked at. And I think it would make for very, very interesting research, and maybe that's something I could look at for a PhD or something like that in the future. Because I think it's desperately needed and just not available, unfortunately.
All right, let's go to Leffa in Sandton. Leffa, I hope I'm not murdering your name.
It's Leffa. Hi, Nicholas. How are you?
Always good. Go ahead.
I just wanted to comment on the whole one-night stand thing. So personally, I'm a huge fan of it. I think it's a great sort of boost of confidence. Some of my best dates have come from one-night stands. And sort of every time when I think about it, I remember this quote. I'm not sure who said it, but it basically goes as, women deserve unforgettable sex with equally forgettable men. And usually that's like what I use when I go in to like have a one-night stand. Just it's great. I think the way you kind of use your body in it, knowing that you're never going to see the person again is, fantastic.
Leffa, let me ask you, hey, are you very open and honest about the things that you want out of a one-night stand? And if your chosen partner for the evening is not fulfilling those requirements, are you very vocal about pointing them in the right direction?
Absolutely. I am not shy at all. I'll tell them, like, straight to their face that, nope, what you're doing is not great. Yeah.
Do you find that liberating, though? Because a lot of people in couples, there's a particular way that people go about doing things. And yeah, you don't want to hurt people's feelings if you're in a loving, committed relationship. You get to share a bed with that person. But it's not, I'm supposing it's a lot easier if you're just down for the evening.
Yeah, it is a lot easier because you know that you're not going to see the person again. So I'm not saying you do it sort of very harshly, but you are more comfortable expressing yourself because you know you're just going to do it for the evening and that's it. And that's sort of the objective.
All right, Leffa in Sandton, thanks very much for that call there. Nice, open, honest conversation. Thank you. 011-883-0702, Stephen Laverack, counseling psychologist, in conversation with myself, Niklas Bauer, about one-night stands. John in Alberton, your thoughts?
Yes. Morning, Guy. How are you?
Always good. Always good. It's Friday. It's Valentine's Day. Is it Valentine's Day for you or Singles Awareness Day?
Not this time around. I just wanted to chill alone because the last time I tried that one night stand, it became an issue and a big problem too.
Okay.
Because after that late night, you know, that lady, she didn't want to get off my back, you know. It was like now a new relationship that needs to start. Unfortunately, I've got my partner somewhere. She has got her own partner. So it's like led to sort of a competition. She was like now putting levels between me and her partner. And I could see it and I could sense it. So luckily, I managed to escape it before it was too late. So sometimes it depends how it works on those one-night stands. Sometimes it can be so, sort of dangerous. It can have, what can I say, it can fire back to you in a way that you might end up losing most of your things that were meant for you.
John and Alberton, thank you for being open and honest, and thanks for the phone call. Stephen, your take there, just before you launch into it. 011-883-0702. Give us a call right now. One night stands. We're talking sex and 702. Stephen.
Shane, it sounds like a very complicated situation there. And I think, you know, it really does boil down to boundaries and being open and honest. You know, being able to say very clearly what this encounter is going to be and what it's not going to be. But also, you know, with one's partner, you know, being open and honest with them, you know, about whether the relationship is moving into a space of it being open. so that both parties can engage in sex with other people. And again, very being very clear with the boundaries there. And I mean, that is a whole different show in itself, you know, about how to maneuver through open relationships. So yeah, it is really about being open and honest in that situation, but also being very clear that, you know, sometimes one night stands don't end well. You know, they are full of regrets and you know, distress and uncomfortableness and left with an uneasy feeling. And certainly if a person is in a relationship already with someone as an intimate partner, then having one night stands on the side, that brings a very different, a complicated dilemma to the relationship.
So, Stephen, the final question I have for you here is the issue of a third wheel. Right? There's various things that people do in a committed relationship, a long-term relationship, to try and spice things up in a bedroom. You can introduce, you know, some people try role-playing, some people try sex toys. Other people try bringing a third party into the bedroom. What's your take on one-night stands with couples and another?
I think, you know, obviously from a sex-positive perspective, personally I have no problem with that. I think the difficulty lies with the work that needs to happen before the couple make a decision to go down that path. And often it's about then looking at the relationship and what is happening within the relationship, what is the dynamic within the relationship, and what is the motivation for exploring about bringing a third person in for a threesome. You know, what is that about? Is it to try and fix something that's damaged within our relationship? Is it about just exploring and having a bit of fun? You know, is there something deeper going on within the relationship? But also, again, and I keep going back to boundaries, because I think it's very important to have boundaries. And certainly with, you know, when you're introducing a third person into your relationship for sex, you know, sex is a very vulnerable emotional space. And it's so important to be able to have open discussion between the couple to say, well, look, you know, I'm feeling vulnerable right now. I'm feeling a bit insecure. You know, I felt like you liked him or her more than me, and that made me feel a little bit insecure. I didn't like it when you did that. I liked it when you did this, etc. You know, so it's really about open communication and knowing one's boundaries, because sometimes when a couple doesn't do that work, then it can cause distress and upset within the relationship and cause problems.
Stephen, this has been an illuminating conversation. Unfortunately, the time gods are allowing us no more when it comes to one-night stands. How can we find out more about your work, get a hold of you, and follow some more tips on one-night stands?
Sure. Well, quite simply, I've got a website. It's www.stephen.laverack.co.za. And all my contact details are on my website and my work.
Stephen, thank you very much for your time. It's been a brilliant hour chatting to you about one-night stands and Valentine's Day, Singles Awareness Day. Whatever you do this evening, whatever you do today, just have fun. Just end the evening with a smile on your face, even if you're alone. Is there such a thing as a one-night stand alone? I call it self-love.